great future priest, Deacon Shlomo Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be talking about microbes in our body. The land, water, and air can either benefit us or hurt us. Now, I looked up the definition for microbe, and it's from the Webster's Dictionary, and it means a minute life form. Now, how these microbes can benefit us? I have a fact sheet from Ohio, the Ohio State University, and they were talking about microbes in the soil and how they can actually, how they work in putting the plants together and everything. And it says microorganisms abound in the soil and are very critical or vital to decomposing organic residues and recycling soil nutrients. Now, bacteria are the smallest and most hardy microbe in the soil and can survive under harsh conditions. Now, these are bacteria. And then later on it says, active SOM, which is soil organic matter, is composed of the fresh plant or animal material, which is food for the microbes, and then is composed of easily digested sugars and proteins. Active SOM improves soil structure and holds plant available nutrients. So you can see there how these microbes are actually helping us, because in the ground, Yahweh put these certain type of organisms in there, and they actually hold the nutrients for when a plant's grown. They bring the nutrients to the plant, and they bring that fruit to you, or that they produce that fruit, which when you eat it, you get healthy. Now, in the soil, there are 1,000 to 2,000 times more microbes associated in roots than are in bare soil. So there's a lot of these microbes that actually help the plants to grow. There are more microbes in a teaspoon of soil than are people on earth. That's how many microbes are in the soil. And most of them actually benefit us. Now, the microbes in our body. Could I have my video, please?
Be the start of an infection from different types of bacteria. Bacteria take advantage of the cut as an entry point. When damaged skin cells come in contact with bacteria, they release chemical signals. These signals trigger inflammation at the wound site. Inflammation is a type of defense against invasion. In the bloodstream, one layer below the damaged skin and bacteria, we see a mixture of red cells, white cells, and platelets. One type of white blood cell is called a neutrophil. Neutrophils are key immune cells that kill harmful bacteria. Neutrophils circulate in the bloodstream looking for signals of infection. When neutrophils sense harm, they gather and prepare to fight. Some neutrophils leave the bloodstream and make their way through the tissues to the infection site. Eventually, neutrophils find the bacteria. On contact, a killing process known as phagocytosis begins. The neutrophil pulls the bacteria into a compartment called a phagosome. Inside the phagosome, the isolated bacteria are surrounded by swirling granules. The granules create a hostile environment by releasing killing elements into the phagosome. Protein complexes generate clouds of deadly agents to help kill the bacteria. Other granules continue to fuse with the phagosome, releasing many other different agents that also contribute to killing the bacteria. In a matter of minutes, the immediate threat to the body has been destroyed, and your immune system has successfully protected you from a cut on the skin.
All right, as you saw in the video, it showed that there was a cut in the person's arm, and the bacteria went in there, and then your body produces cells from the bloodstream, which are called neutrophils, and they come and then they automatically make they signal to other microbes, and they come in and they make copies of that DNA or RNA, and which after that occurs, then they will clean up the bacteria. They'll kill the bacteria and eat it. And then they successfully will help your body. Now, how they can hurt us. In the New Prophetic Word, on page 19, this prophetic word right here. On page 19, it gives certain facts. 700,000 people acquire gonorrhea in the United States a year. Now, if you remember, why these people are getting these diseases is because they break the law of Yahweh. 50 million people worldwide acquire gonorrhea a year. That's 50 million people. Now, a wildlife biologist are trying to connect the dots on a virus that has started to affect North America's wild turkey population. And what occurs there is if the bacteria kill all these turkeys, then we won't have turkey to eat anymore. That's why we have to remember to always keep the law of Yahweh. The definition for benefit is something promoting or enhancing well-being. And that's what these microbes do in our body. The definition from hurt, now these are from the Webster's Dictionary, means to cause physical pain or damage, to have a feeling of pain or discomfort, and to cause distress. So when we break the law, we're putting these things in our body which cause us to be distressed. Now, from the New Prophetic Word, page 18, it says microorganisms are live beings. They produce offspring. This a little down further in the paragraph. It says, they produce offspring. Yes, they multiply. They even enjoy doing their jobs assigned to them by the law. It is estimated that it takes around 30 trillion different microorganisms, micro kingdoms, to keep your body running properly. 30 trillion kingdoms. If one micro kingdom is made sick from defiled food, water, air, or STDs. Yes, STDs that affect every organ in your body. Now, I have two scriptures. The first one is in Genesis. If you turn to Genesis 1. Genesis 1 and verse 26. It says, then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image according to my likeness. They will have rulership or authority over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. In verse 28, and if you see there, in verse 26, that's even including the microorganisms, he will give us rulership of. In verse 28, it says, then Yahweh blessed him, and Yahweh blessed man. And Yahweh said to him, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And those are the microbes in our body and that make up the air that we breathe, our food and water and things like this. In Leviticus 26, on page 105, verse 18, it says, If after all this you will not listen to me, I will punish you for your sins seven times over. Verse 20, it says, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of your land yield their fruit. And what we see there is that he's saying if you don't listen, if you don't obey these laws, then in verse in verse 20, it says, then you will, your strength will be in vain because these microbes will not listen to you. That's why we have to keep in mind, that's why we have to keep in mind to keep Yahweh's laws. And with that, if everyone will please stand. I have the privilege and honor to turn it over to the great Khan Nathaniel.
Shabbat shalom, great priests and saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. I know everybody was looking forward to the previous teacher that he mentioned, but it's only me. The glorious Sabbath day. Yahweh has given us the strength, and shown us the great mercy and compassion to make it to another Sabbath day, which he showed, praise Yahweh, which he showed this day through the great witness and through the words of the great witness, that he would give us the answers to our problems, the answers to our questions. He would give us great peace. He did say that the Sabbath day would be glorious, as taught by the house of Yahweh and the last day's anointed witness, Yisrael Abel Hawkins. And it is. It is glorious. There's no two ways about it. The only place on the face of the earth that is given reverence to Yahweh is the house of Yahweh at Abel. There's no way to deny it, to refute it, to debunk it. You know, there's so many theories in the world today. The theory of evolution, the theory of, you know, all type of different theories. And those theories are being debunked and changed and twisted and turned. You know, but there's no way to change the way of Yahweh or to debunk it, to turn it around. The pastor showed us, he said that there's no such thing as an atheist. Okay, there's no such thing as an atheist. There's just an individual that's ignorant of Yahweh's laws, ignorant of Yahweh's scriptures. Okay, there's just a disbeliever. Okay, the atheists are not educated in the way of Yahweh. They're not educated in the scriptures, especially not by the house of Yahweh. And this is why they would be able to say, well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in the Creator. You know, because they ask themselves questions like, if there was a Creator, why is there so much suffering in the world? But the knowledge of Yahweh is our strength and our stability, as we read in the Scriptures. As we understand, as taught by the house of Yahweh, the knowledge of Yahweh is our strength and our stability. And we can answer those questions. Each and every one of us, from 4 years old to 94, we all have the strength and the ability to answer these questions. You know, I was, the title of this lesson today is, you must be present to be presented. You must be present to be presented. The only place on the face of the earth which Yahweh has chosen to place his name is here at the house of Yahweh. And if you remember, Pastor taught us that the word Torah, the definition of the word Torah, means to repeat. Okay, to repeat, to continually edify. So, us having the opportunity to hear the words once again that the Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week, that the name of Yahweh is the only name by which we will be saved through salvation, okay? That the house of Yahweh is the only established place according to prophecy that has been brought forward in order to bring true peace to the whole world. And there's no way to debunk that. There's no way to change that. There's no way to alter that. I was preparing for this lesson today, and I just want to start off with a beautiful, beautiful reference that it, and I got this reference minutes before I came up here by one of the great priests who got it from one of the great priests, which was the great Kahan Yedidiah Hawkins. He sent in this scripture. And it, I mean, it just lines up so perfectly with what I wanted to bring today. The words of the great witness. Okay, so this is in the first book of Yisro. Okay, the first book of Yisro, making the connection with Yahweh. And it's on page 130, bottom of the second column. It says, you might not think the Sabbath is a big thing in your life. I could tell you the Sabbath carries more help for you than any one single thing I know. Okay, really marinate on that and really think about that. You know, don't just let these words be, you know, as the strumming of a harp, you know, or the playing of the zither and the lyre. You know, let these words really sink in, because, you know, there's a saying, it says, the one who listens like a Ford, and no disrespect to all Ford lovers, the one who listens like a Ford performs like a Ford. But the one who listens like a Lamborghini performs like a Lamborghini. So we have to allow ourselves to really listen to these words. Really let these words sink in and permeate, okay? So he said, Pastor says, you may not think the Sabbath is a big deal, okay? So you might not think the Sabbath is a big thing in your life. I could tell you the Sabbath carries more help for you than any one thing I know. It comes straight from Yahweh himself. Even if you are an unclean person sitting in the house of Yahweh, you receive the power by making that connection on the Sabbath. He goes further to say that it's a very slight connection. And you'll see in these scriptures that, yes, it is a very slight connection. And that's the reason why it's so important, because we have to remain in contact with Yahweh. Okay, we have to remain in contact with Yahweh because of the fragility, okay? That connection is very fragile unless we strengthen those connections in our minds. Strengthen those connections for Father Yahweh. If you'd all turn over to, and I know you know these scriptures already, but we're just overlaying them on your subconscious mind and in your genes. Hebrews 4. Okay, the book of Hebrews in chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise of entering his rest remains. Okay, now the Catholics and the Christians, you know, believe that that rest could really be any day. Let us fear so that none should come short of it. Okay, let us fear so that none should come short of it. This message was preached to us as well as them. But the word which they heard, they did not benefit. It did not benefit them. Those who follow after the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Essenes, the Herodians, it didn't benefit them because they chose not to adhere to it. Okay, they chose not to adhere to the way of Yahweh as taught by the house of Yahweh. Because they did not share in the faith of those who obeyed. Okay, they did not share in the faith of those who obeyed. I was going to go, hold your place in Isaiah 58. And let's go over to 2 Timothy. Okay, so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, it says, but evil men and imposters have grown worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. These evil men who have grown worse are the same ones who were rejecting the name of Yahweh in the days of Yeremia. When Yeremia came to the priests of Anathoth and said, you must reverence the name of Yahweh. And they told him, look, you say that name one more time, it's a pine box waiting, ready for you. Okay, so these evil men and imposters have grown worse, deceiving and being deceived, taking away the glory of Yahweh from the Sabbath day. Okay, if you'd go over to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, and of course, you know these scriptures, but it's great to go over them again. Isaiah, chapter 58, and verse 13. That's on page 567. It says, And if you turn away your feet from breaking the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasures, your own business, your own pleasures on my holy day, and call the Sabbath day a delight, the holy day of Yahweh, honorable, and will honor him by not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor engaging in idle conversation. Okay, then you will see what it says here in verse 14. Then you will find your joy in Yahweh. Okay, then you will find your joy in Yahweh. And I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob. Okay, Yahweh promises us that he will feed us with this heritage. He will not leave us desolate. If you go over to Isaiah 29, Isaiah chapter 29, Pastor gives us further instruction, or Yahweh gives us further instruction through the teachings of the great witness. Okay? Because if you remember the fragility of Yahweh's calling, okay, it's very, very conditional. Okay? The unconditional love is something that's not taught by Yahweh. Okay, unconditional love has nothing to do with Yahweh. Yahweh says, if you will do this, I will call you my people, and I will be your father. But if not, you have death and destruction waiting for you. But this shows you the fragility, how fragile this calling is, and how we have to guard it. Something that's fragile, if you send a parcel and it has fragile content on it, you'll do everything that you can to make sure that on the way, it won't get destroyed. You'll wrap it in foam. You'll wrap it in bubble paper and put all type of different things. And then after you do all of that, you'll write on it, fragile. Okay? So it says here in Isaiah 29 and verse 13, therefore Yahweh said, because these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their reverence to me is taught by the precept of men. Okay, their reverence to Yahweh is taught by the precept of men. Well, we do know already that the friendship of the world, the teachings of the world, is bitterly opposed to and in enmity against Yahweh. If you would go over to book of Job. Job chapter 35. Okay, because Job was being exhorted. He was being exhorted to believe into the one whom is the strength, the true power and the strength of Israel. Okay, the power of Israel, which was Yahweh, the father of the children of Israel. And of course, we are the children of Israel in these last days. So we have to remember this instruction, this edification also. It says in verse 12, okay, so Job, the book of Job, chapter 35 and verse 12. It says, the carnal man cries out. The carnal man cries out, but Yahweh does not answer. Isaiah 59 will give you the reason as to why Yahweh doesn't answer. It's not because Yahweh hates his creation, or he's upset, or he wants to exact revenge on his creation. By no means. Okay? But it's through our own sins, the practice of iniquity, the practice of the breaking of Yahweh's laws, the taking of transgression into our very lives, that we separate ourselves from Yahweh. And we come here on the Sabbath day to learn how to be reconciled to Yahweh. Okay? How to be brought back to Yahweh, brought back into the presence of Yahweh. Okay? So continuing, it says, surely Yahweh will not listen to vanity, nor will the Almighty regard it. And he's training us to be the same. You remember the scripture that says, when Yahshua returns, when you see him, you will be just like him. And that's what Yahweh gives us on the Sabbath day, is to learn to be just like him. Not to come and say that we're reverencing Yahweh with the precepts of men. It doesn't work. It doesn't have the ability to bring us into the unity with Yahweh. I'd like to, at this point, I'd like to go over into the respect unit. Okay, at the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And it's on page 118. Okay, page 118. It says, be prepared. The question of the day. You mean I should be prepared to be shown disrespect? Yes, we should. If we're prepared to be shown disrespect, when it's shown to us, we're already ready for it. The problem that comes when a person gets offended is because of an expectation that hasn't been met. So if you expect your brother, you expect your sister to be holier than thou, you're going to be disappointed. Okay? But the Peaceful Solution shows us here, it says, the reality is, not everyone at this time is trying to develop a positive moral character. Now, that doesn't mean us in the house of Yahweh that all of us are, because we are, all of us are striving. All of us here are striving to become in the image and likeness of Yahweh by believing into the one whom Yahweh has sent. Okay? So, does that give us the opportunity or the right to retaliate when we have been disrespected? This says be prepared. Okay, be prepared. Now, okay, I'm ready. When I see him, as soon as he says something, he better not talk to me. I don't know what I'm going to do. He don't. Okay. What about self-control? Self-control is controlling yourself and controlling your actions too. You know the rest of the song. It says, there are people who are deliberately disrespectful. They literally regard disrespecting others as a form of entertainment. These are the words of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, and it's very, very, very true. To the intent that some of us don't even realize, but we are entertaining ourselves. But if we find peace or a type of solace by retaliating, that came from entertainment. Okay? What Satan did was she caused there to be entertainment so you would find pleasure in something other than Yahweh's laws. And now the focus is there. The focus is out in the world. You know, our minds are because of all the flash and the bang and the boom and all of the big colors and everything is oversized, under morality, destroyed and destitute of any type of learning or understanding, but it's big and it makes noise and it grabs our attention. Okay? That's an entertainment to us. So now when it goes past the initial awareness grabbing our attention, then it seeps into our character to the intent or to the point to where you don't even have to think about it. And the disrespect is there. You don't even have to try. You don't even have to work. You don't have to think, okay, I'm going to be disrespectful now. No, it's in there. So when you see this word entertainment, it means where you have put your mind. Don't entertain the thought. You've heard that sentence. You've heard that before. Do not entertain the thought. So it's not just about, you know, oh, I'm watching movies, or oh, I'm listening to worldly music. Of course, those things lead you to that desperate, destitute destruction. Okay, but don't entertain the thought. Don't give yourself over to the thoughts of retaliation. It says, in addition, there will also be times when someone may show you disrespect and not even realize it. okay, and not even realize what they're doing. Now, an unintentional sin is still sin. Okay, we in the house of Yahweh are given the opportunity to wear moral excellence and to wrap it around us as a talit, as Yahweh said. To wear moral excellence. There's no excuse, oh, I had a bad day. No, it's not okay to have a bad day. And then disrespect. You might have a bad day, but under your self-control, nobody will even know that you had a bad day. When you haven't even eaten for the whole day, Yahweh said, don't go showing people that you haven't eaten. Put oil on your face, straighten yourself up, and present yourself to Yahweh's people as a willing servant. Okay? These words are not void. These are the words of Yahweh coming directly from Yahweh on his holy Sabbath day, as Pastor showed us. He said, I don't see anything else that's more important than coming on the Sabbath day and learning the right and proper way to conduct yourself. There's nothing that's more important. So the peaceful solution shows the answer to the question is, you mean I should be prepared to be shown disrespect? And it says, yes, 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 yes. Okay, we should be prepared. But in that preparation, remember, the scripture shows that a wise man sees evil and flees. Well, Pastor showed us, not that he's running. You can't come to the house of Yahweh and hide from your duty, which is to teach this unclean world the right and proper way to conduct himself. But he says, a righteous man sees evil and prepares against it. Prepares himself against that evil. Okay? If we'll go over to... A righteous man sees evil and prepares himself against it. Let's go over to the book of Proverbs. Okay, Proverbs chapter 15. And on the Sabbath day, this is what we're learning. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, a soft, gentle answer turns away wrath, but a cutting retort stirs up more anger. Now, this would occur in an individual that is not being taught the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Okay, because the scriptures already shows us that a teacher, a ruler, a leader, sometimes needs to raise his voice in order to get the attention of those who are right on the brink of utter destruction. When someone's right at the corner of a cliff, you're not going to say, please back away from that cliff. It's not going to occur like that. It's not going to occur. You can say that in advance. You can say, you see that cliff over there? Yeah, don't go that way because, you know, it's really dangerous. It's really deep ahead of time. But when that person is right there at the edge of the cliff, there's going to be an escalation in your vocal abilities. Okay? So, verse 2. Of Proverbs chapter 15, it says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge correctly, but the mouth of the fool pours out foolishness. The eyes of Yahweh are in every place, beholding the evil and the righteous. So Yahweh knows everything that's occurring. Okay, you're not going to catch Yahweh by surprise, and then you surprise them, so he's upset and he's angry and he wants to, you know, exact revenge on mankind. No, that's not how Yahweh is. Yahweh is a merciful, compassionate, and concerned, loving Father who defends his creation, who stands up for his creation. And if you'd all please stand at this time, I appreciate the opportunity to speak. And I'd like to turn the floor over to the great Kahan Ilya Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Today in the news, we're going to be taking a look, starting with a town in California that actually the wells are going dry. Due to the drought, towns are now actually running out of water. And when you watch this, have empathy for these people. Look at what's taking place and look at the emotion on this woman's face as she pleads, you know, even these people taking out personal loans to go get water. Imagine that. And then, of course, the government brings them water and tells them not to drink it, but use it for other things. So keep that in mind. You know, we also recently, when we went down to an area in South Texas here not long ago, we went through some of the land that the House of Yahweh at one time was looking at getting for food. And Pastor decided not to get it. And this is back when everybody thought the harvest was great. Everything looked nice. But Pastor seen where they were using commercial fertilizers and commercial irrigation. And he said that land won't last long. We recently went through there. And as far as you could see, the corn crop had burnt completely up. They didn't even cut it down in the fields. It's still standing, but it's completely burnt up. Now, that's the foresight and the wisdom that he has in relying on these prophecies. But look at these people, because they're subject to bad choices and things that have been done, and they really don't know why, but they're suffering from it. Also, in Madagascar, there was a huge outbreak of locusts. They're calling them locusts, more like a grasshopper, that is totally consuming what they have. And they show the scenes of the view of the city with these locust or grasshopper looking insects, and they truly, they're mind blowing how many are there. And then you have the Pope endorsing war, but yet he's not endorsing war. He says that he wants to stop this ISIS, but not by dropping bombs or war. At the same time, he's laying the foundation to wage war. So pay attention closely to what's being done here. And then in the UK, they're warning their people that a terrorist attack is soon to take place. It's inevitable. So they're putting fear into the people. You know, fear into the people. And, of course, the people are going to naturally want to do what? They're going to want to attack the aggressor before the aggressor attacks them. And then you have the Pope is being warned by Israel right now that ISIS has him in their crosshairs. Now, the Vatican is playing this off, but they're claiming that the Pope is in the crosshairs of ISIS. And then last but definitely not least, Michael Brown, the young man that was killed in Ferguson, Missouri, who has been such a news media outburst over these things, they're going to show his funeral, and we're going to play a clip from a preacher at the funeral. And watch what's said very carefully. Now, I want to read you the definition for the word vengeance. Okay, vengeance. The definition is the act of taking revenge, harming someone in retaliation for something harmful they have done. Now, remember that the very foundation of the peaceful solution is two wrongs don't make a right. Never get even, fight back. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what they're told by their preachers of what they need to do. So at this time, if we could play the news. At this time, if everyone would please stand, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. Praise Yahweh. Oh, let's go big. Come on, come on. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with you while the world is crying for vengeance. Oh, man. Take karate so you can defend yourself. Oh, man, what a mess. What a mess. We're trying to take the bite out of all this crime. There is a light at the end of this prophesied worst generation. That was a newspaper article that I wrote that went out yesterday, 29th, and it's already up to 62,000, over 62,000 news media's running it right now. It's more than that now. This will reach, I would say, 100,000 before it slacks off. Being run in Addison, Texas, KTXD 47, and this is on their computers too, their Facebooks. Northern Michigan, this is just a few. Huntsville, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia, big stations in those places. Here's what the Bible said. Now, this was last week. And this was written It wasn't written by request. In fact, I had the letter already started, but we got requests for the House of Yahweh to write on this subject from worldly people, not House of Yahweh members. That was a first. Well, here's what the Bible says about the shooting of Michael Brown. And that went out last week, and it's almost 100,000, 91,004, and that was it's more than that now. We need to wake up and learn from the death of Robin Williams. That went out the week before, August 15th, and that's up to 82,000. News media is running this. Praise Yahweh. As you can see, the vengeance is everywhere, and there it's such a confused world. I ended with this article last week, a couple of weeks ago, but they don't want to believe the scriptures. But the scriptures has the answers to today's world problems, all of them. But they don't want to take the scriptures. But they're admitting now, that what the scripture says is true. Now, I mentioned a scientist that was fired from university after discovering shocking dinosaur bones believed to be only 4,000 years old. Now, this is their own way of testing dinosaur bones. It's been proved. It's been fought for years. And, of course, the others also have some other ways of testing it, but they all agree with what this man did. He says, a recent archaeological discovery that throws a wrench into the conventional theory of evolution has reportedly cost a California professor his job, Mark Armistead, a former scientist at California State University, Northridge, was reportedly fired after claiming to have unearthed a dinosaur fossil that still contains soft, flexible tissue, suggesting that it can't be millions of years old, but only in and around 4,000. Now, if you think about it and give this some thought, I'm going to give you a hint. I was going to tell you when the earth was created, but after talking it over with some priests, other priests, I said, you know, there's too many people interested in this. We need to let it be studied. And this will help in the studies. But now keep this in mind. I'll give you a hint without telling you, okay? So you can just go right to it then. But now this 4,000 years here, this takes you back to the flood. Do you think about that? See, 4,000 years. They said this is 4,000 years old. That's when the last dinosaur disappeared. They haven't found any later than that. And 4,000 years ago is when this earth was flooded. I had a book. Things are coming back to me from that book because I've been thinking, I think, subconsciously on this thing. And every once in a while I'll remember something that was in that book. But from that flood, there's a book called The Flood. There's several books called Flood. But I don't remember the author, and it was thrown in a dumpster and burned or sold for 10 cents or something back when Satan came at me in fury. But anyway, the book was taken from me. We're hunting another one now if we can find it. But it's just simply called The Flood. But it shows the earth's layers and how a flood had to exist, had to be, in fact they proved it, a huge flood that would have covered the entire earth. And the layers of the earth prove this. Now, in that flood area, there was dinosaur bones found down deep. And they could actually tell from those layers where those bones were, and of course prove that they were killed by a flood, because they all died at the same time, and it died at that time that this flood came. Now, that was one of the things that actually proved a flood, but also proved that there's dinosaurs alive at that time and got killed. And this was a magnificent find that he brings this up today and actually finds one of the latest ones killed. Wonderful, beautiful. And, of course, lost his job for doing so. A 30-year veteran in the field has published many studies over the years in peer-reviewed journals. Now, I think you can, there's a lot that would back me up. But I see things that are going on now scientifically. Yahweh said the earth, Yahshua said the earth, the world would be as it was in the days of Noah. And the things we're doing today is, you can see the similarity. They didn't have bombs, but they had, I believe, they created these dinosaurs to make war with. The other day, I was reading about a tiger crossed with a leopard or something that weighed a couple of tons. You know, this beast was big as half as big as an elephant, and he had claws in his feet and jaws that he could crush a man in a second. Now, if you would imagine what was going on during the flood in 2000, somewhere around 2000, I think it was 2300 is what the scripture dates it. If you could imagine these people creating beasts to fight with. Now, Yahweh created the original beast, and he took every one of them on that ark with Noah. He didn't take any dinosaurs with him. But he took the other beasts that he had created as he had created them in the shape that they were created and put them on the ark with Noah. Now, if in this crossbreeding, cross genetics, and so forth, which the demons had a great knowledge then, if you remember, because Satan, she had the power to create and maintain flesh. So if you had that power, you could also take what the scientists are doing now and easily create fighting beasts that would fight your battles for you. They'd be like a dog on a chain. You could control them, you know, to some extent, but you could use them to fight your battles. And this is what was going on in Noah's day. And of course, when the ark was built and Yahweh took what he wanted on that ark, the left were left behind. The rest were left behind. And of course, that's what you're finding. That's what this man found today, was one of those soft tissues that is actually killed during that flood area. Now, that is scientifically factual, and the man proved it. And he lost his job for doing so. I'm thinking Satan got really angry about this. Well, there's a lawsuit now recently filed by this man who lost his job. Describes this action to the discovery of as fascinated since flexible matter has never before been discovered on a dinosaur fossil. Naturally, he published his findings. In this case, he published them in the televised journal Acta Histochemica, and proceeded to share the findings with his students. his lawyer, he said, terminating an employee, this man's lawyer says, terminating his employee is illegal, he said, said his lawyer, Brad Dukas, in a public statement, in an attempt to solace scientific speech at a public university is alarming. This should be a wake-up call and warning to the entire world about academics. Well, of course, that's the way that the Catholic Church, by force, they want freedom, you know, freedom of speech, but they want to tell you what to speak and what not to speak. You know, it's like the Indians said, the so-called Indians of Oklahoma, when they made treaties with them, they said, you always have to look for the man speaking with the forked tongue, because he's saying one thing, you know, in the treaty, but another thing he writes. And of course, most Indians could not read, so they were left to sign things they didn't know they signed, giving their lands away and so forth. Since about 1948, there was a movement took place that it was advertised by Malachi Martin, and in The Keys of This Blood, and also in his interviews. And he's telling about the plans of the Catholic Church and the New World Order that Henry Kissinger spoke of. Henry Kissinger is very wise in worldly politics, geopolitical politics. He studies this constantly. So, and he's got a new book out that he's writing to show where our mistakes was made, how they were made, and why that the New World Order is in a crisis. Now get that. This New World Order, he says, is in a crisis. Well, of course, he was the advisor to Benedict, Pope Benedict. And of course, now I think he's the secret advisor to Pope Francis. And still carrying both popes now, still seeing both popes. But he's in Pope Benedict's time, he brought forth, he's the one that went to the politicians instead of the Pope. He would go to the politicians and give the Pope's orders, so it was kept secret what the Pope was saying. But Henry Kissinger, no one was paying any attention to Henry Kissinger. But now in a book, he reveals this, and you can see that all along since 1948, he's been heavily, deeply involved, him and Bill Clinton, too, in fact, and many of the other presidents. But Henry Kissinger, on the assembly of the New World Order, the concept that has underpinned the modern geopolitical era, is in crisis. Sermons have been preached, and many more should be, but I need to mention one thing here. The Savior spoke on this, saying, a kingdom divided against itself won't stand. And of course, Yahweh is building a kingdom. You're the ones. You're the finish of this. You're the remnant. He's building a kingdom of unity. And without unity, you simply just won't be allowed. That's all there is to it. And that's the reason that Yeshua stressed unity. All the prophets stressed unity. And Yahweh went to extreme to show this is a must. This is something you've got to have, because you can't bring anything across successfully if people are fighting, they don't agree, and they're fighting against your efforts to bring this about. Yahweh is going to take us as teachers, and we'll be forever teachers in the new world. And this will be a new world order that will stand because it, praise Yahweh, it's based on unity. It's based on justice and fairness. The laws are in total unity with everything that you need, everything a person actually needs. And of course, it guides you to loving your brother and caring, actually caring for your brothers and sisters. You don't see this in this new world order. You see a force. And this this is one of the things that Henry Kissinger shows that is taking place with people who don't agree, so they're building up resistance to it. If Satan was allowed, she would bring her force in right now and destroy all of you. Now, that's how much she hates you, and of course, that was her plan. But it, the house of Yahweh won't be destroyed this time. Yahweh said, the last will be first. We who remain alive as teachers will shine as the stars of heaven in brightness and glory and so forth. Well, Henry Kissinger brings this out and shows that they don't have unity in this new world order. Yeshua showed that his house will have actual 100% unity, and they will all be teachers of this way, as well as guardians of Yahweh's way, to see to it. As they teach, they will build a kingdom of priests that will forever be teachers in the new world. And if someone is going a little crossways, they will hear this voice quickly behind them saying, hey, this is the way. Walk you in this way. And then if it takes further help than that, they will be shown the history of earth, of mankind, and what mankind was put through in order to teach them this lesson. And we'll have it all in front of us. We'll have it all where we can teach them and show it, where we will make them understand. And if they still choose to go their own way, of course, they'll be cast out. They won't be disunity. But in this crisis, in the new world order that was presented by Malachi Martin in the key called the Keys of This Blood, and the Keys of This Blood is, of course, is the so-called Levitical priesthood. There never was a Levitical priesthood, but they called it a Levitical priesthood because the Yahweh said, you know, you think you want Korah ruling this thing? Well, I'll let Korah rule it. And that's exactly what I brought out in the last sermon, if you caught that. So the Korahites, which was Levites, of course, they were the sons of and brothers and nephews of Moshe. They were all this one family. And they weren't chosen through righteousness at all. That wasn't the way it was set up. They were, Yahweh showed from the beginning in Genesis 49, this is what you're going to see out of the 12 tribes. He showed you that and said, this is the way they're going to end up. But the kingdom he is forming is altogether different. As Yahshua said, this won't be for you. You know, these people rule by force. And the ones who are stronger than they rule them by force. But he said, this will not be so among you. Well, how are they going to get their authority to rule? By unity. And Yahweh is going to know whether they're in unity with him or not. And Yahshua showed that. And you got to be 100% in unity, he said, in order to have a part in this kingdom. And Yahweh knows the heart, remember? So, and that's the way he rules, with the heart. So your heart has got to be in this also, be in this work, wanting to serve. Wanting to serve, wanting to bring this, first off, bring this kingdom to completion, and then, of course, be transferred, given authority, and take over what's left of this sin-sick, dying world. I saw an article last week where it said the baby, this one baby, was born with if I can think of all the things. Down syndrome, disease, eclipse of the lip, which took part of the nose and takes part of their face. Respiratory problems and cancer, tumors. Now, that was the four things they named that the baby was born with. And they told the mother and dad, this will cost you $1,000 a day for the doctors to treat this baby, to keep this baby alive. $1,000 a day. And they said, combined salaries of her and her husband, they were making $800 a month. Well, that is the sick world that we stand in right now. And I don't care what anybody tells you, every baby that's born today has a defect. You may not see it, but it's there. It's there, it's come from the genes, and they're finally saying what we've been saying for 50 years now, that the genes that we have modified, that we've destroyed, that we've mutated, is what's causing the sickness and disease, every bit of it. Well, they said 85%. What did we say, 90%? Then I said, no, I believe it's 99%. It just keeps going up in my mind every time I read new evidence and see, you know, that it's STDs, your past sin. You didn't get away with one of your sins, and your child didn't either. Your child is suffering from every sin you sinned when you were growing up. And all of it came right down, as Yahweh showed in Genesis 49. It comes right down to the day where sin is stacked up inside your bodies. The result of sin is stacked up, coming through the babies. They may not see it for a few months or a few years before they discover, yes, he was born with this, came from the genes of his mother and daddy. Well, they're realizing this now, and I'll read that. I can't get to it this week, but maybe next week. But Henry Kissinger, he says, the concept of order that has underpinned the modern era is in crisis. Now, he's talking about what we're doing, what you're seeing on the news right now that we're showing you every Sabbath. This is the Pope's plan, the Catholics' plan, the keys of this blood, which they know they're the Levitical priesthood, as they call it. They know that they're the Korahites who rose up against Moshe and Samuel. And they know they've brought they took over the house of Yahweh, took the name off of it and started calling it temple. They stopped keeping the laws. They never did keep the laws, in fact. Yahweh said, they've been like this ever since I brought them out of Egypt. They brought this God worship with them. Remember, this is in the 8th chapter of Samuel. These are the ones, the violent men, as he showed you in Genesis 49. Oh, the violence of the Levites. Don't let me stand in their council, he said. He tells you that. Well, that is what inherited the temple, took over the temple by violence, the kingdom of Yahweh. This was the kingdom of Yahweh that was actually given to Moshe, but taken from him by violent men after the land in the tiny spot in Israel is taken over. And then he sends them out to the whole world to rule the world. So at the end, there would be no doubts of what caused what we're seeing here now in this new world order. And this is what he's speaking of, and this is what we're seeing on the news. The new world order in crisis. When we see the people in Ukraine who wanted to go back to the Orthodox religion of Russia, and they were rising up, and the Pope says, we got to get some help over there and stop this. Because the democracy, the so-called freedom from the laws of Yahweh, that's the only thing they're talking about. You're not free from anything else. You're under pressure, under their thumb, from your birth to your death. And the hospitals can actually take your baby and say, we're going to keep this baby and we're going to treat it. And if you object, they'll say, we're not asking you. We're telling you, I'm going to keep this baby and we're going to examine this baby and keep it under eye for a few days and see if what we've found here goes away. And if you want to object, and you go ahead and take your baby and leave, I'll have you arrested. I'll have you imprisoned. Well, that's the world we're living in now. That's the freedom they're talking about. They want the girls free to sin. I saw a news clip yesterday that where a girl was in an academy, and she was telling about the rapes and this new law that they passed that yes don't always, or no don't mean no, yo no means yes. And how it was horrifying to her because of what she had gone through. Well, of course, that's part of the world today. You know, the academy is for girls. This is the freedom that they're talking about. And of course, they try to get you in the academies so you can learn to make a living or learn to make a living for the corporation that you'll go to work for, Dunkin' Donuts or whatever, to make them a bunch of money. They're the ones with the money is controlling these schools. They're the lords of Abilene or the ones that's controlling Abilene. They're not controlling it completely because they're drinking their own sewer water right now. But this is some of the drawbacks with this system. You see, it's not like it's foolproof by any means, this system. And this system is what is bringing forth the droughts. Yes, it's got the heavens, the atmosphere sick also. And for a while they didn't know that what we were saying was truth when we told them that the microorganisms, listen to me now, everybody straighten up and listen. The microorganisms are controlling the atmosphere and the rain, and what you're doing, your sins, has got the atmosphere where it can't do its job. They didn't believe us. They didn't even believe that there were bacteria out there in space. They didn't believe that there was anything out there. And the other day, they was looking at a spaceship, and on the spaceship, they had picked up algae. Algae growing on their spaceship. How in the world did this get there, they said. How did all these other bacteria get on this ship anyway? Where did we pick this up? Somewhere around Mars? The Martians, that's what it is. Well, of course, from the scriptures, we know. We know when Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. Yahweh gives us feasts to show us these things. He gives us bits and pieces of hints and said, this is this way with Yahweh. Now that was a great hint as to when the earth was created. That's some of it. It's pretty deep. It gets pretty deep, but I want you to learn to go deep, of course, in the study of Scripture. And that's what you need to be doing in your off time. If you have any spare time after you get through with the other work. You really need to be reading what has been written and listening to the spoken word that's been spoken. Because in that, I know I brought that out. I might have not made it clearer as I should have, or maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe it was an inspiration that caused me not to make it clear. But now it's going to be a great study, and maybe by Tabernacles, if you have found it, if you haven't found it, I may wait till Tabernacles the next year in heaven. Did you get that last part? Okay, he says, the concept of order. Now, you know, what he's talking about here is a plan. You know, Yahweh has a plan that was with him in the beginning. And that plan, of course, was to make man into his image. That was his plan, to make man in his image. But you don't just turn the Leviathan around. This Leviathan has gobs and gobs of heavenly beings following. And they have a huge empire built up out there. The same thing you see in mankind's kingdoms right now, and they're all against the house of Yahweh. But Yeshua said to you, the house of Yahweh is not going to be a big, strong kingdom to start with. We're not going to have a big army. We're going to be like a tiny seed, the tiniest seed there is. And when it's planted, it's going to grow up to be the biggest tree on earth or the universe. Now, that's the way it's going to grow. He's even said 3 out of 4 will fall away because they will not come to unity with Yahweh, with the laws of Yahweh. And it's like he said of the Israelites. He told you this to begin with. They eat, they drink, and they rise up to play. And the play pretties that we have now available to our young people, they'd be better off not to have those wheels. They'd be better off not to have them Satan-controlled computers, unless you're going to sit there with them and guide them into what to study and what not to study. They'd be far better off not to have them in their possession. Well, the concept of order, the plan of order that the Pope, the keys of this blood, has lined out to take over the world once again. See, they did this with the Roman army. Remember, the fourth beast was the Roman army that actually took over and ruled the world. But Yahweh shows there won't be another one. There won't be another world ruling kingdom, but they're trying now to get it across. And Henry Kissinger is saying this concept of order has underpinned the modern era is in crisis. The concept of order that has underpinned the modern era is in crisis, writes Henry Kissinger. Above a pro-Russian fighter stands guard at a checkpoint close to Donetsk, Ukraine, in July 2014. And it shows a picture of the Russian standing there with a sign that says stop. And of course, they've blockaded the road. Libya, now get this, Libya is in civil war. Now, this is another crisis for the concept of order that they had planned, because they had plan that everyone would fall under their umbrella and everyone would fall under their guidance of democracy and the Western style of living, which is the closest thing to Satan that I know of you could find anywhere in the world. Fornication, adultery, bestiality, and sodomy are the teachings that come forth from Hollywood. They're in all the schools now. The Supreme Court upholds them and upholds the right for women and men to participate. Why? Money. As you saw by film, big money. It brings in big money. Sickness brings in more money than anything else that you could invest in. The big market in drugs brings forth big money to the Catholic Church. And it's provable. You can get that off of the internet, by the way. Fundamentalist armies are building a self-declared catapult across Syria and Iraq. Well, this fundamentalist, that you'll probably hear this word quite a bit now because it's being brought out in the news, but fundamentalist is forming a foundation or basis, a basis essential, that is a foundation that is essential, a principle, theory, this is fundamental, laws and so forth, serving as a basis or a foundation. Fundamentalism is religious beliefs based on literal interpretations of the Bible. That's exactly what Yeshua formed when he was here on earth, based on the inspired writings of Yahweh's inspired prophets. Now, I'll read this again. Calypse. He uses the word C-A-L-I-P-H-A-T-E. Calypse. And it means supreme ruler, the title taken by Muhammad's successors as heads of Islam. Well, of course, the supreme ruler that the Catholic wants is the Pope. But in their concept of order, in order to get rid of all of these religions, they, of course, knew that they had a fight on their hands, but they didn't know they had the big fight that they have today, even though Henry Kissinger says Russia is a teddy bear now, but she could become a grizzly. And this is the one thing that's a crisis to the concept of order of the Catholic Church and their plan for, as the keys of this blood, they claim they have the rights to this, the keys of this blood gives them the rights to take over the world and rule it with the rod of force, of course. So he says Libya is in civil war. Fundamentalist armies are building a self-declared separate across Syria and Iraq. And Afghanistan's young democracy is on the verge of paralysis. To these troubles are added a resurgence of tensions with Russia. To these troubles are added a resurgence of tensions with the Russia and a relationship with China. Divided between pledges and corporations and public reclamation. That word means to answer. Now, it means to answer, but the accuser with another accusation. So Russia accuses us, we accuse them. And this is what's coming about with Russia, China, the United States, and a vast of other foreign nations that hasn't accepted this concept of the keys of this blood. The concept of order, that is the idea, the plan for a modern new world order government, for this era. It's for this generation now that this was planned. Started in 1948, and they're supposed to have it finished. They're supposed to have it finished already, but it's in a crisis. In this generation, Remember what Yeshua said about this generation? He said, we're going to see wars. Well, this is what they're afraid of now. We're going to see wars, and we're going to see big wars, because what we're seeing now with Ukraine, with Russia, with Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, all of these nations, what we're seeing is a buildup of hatred in opposition to the concept of the keys of this blood. So the concept of order that has underpinned the modern era, that is today, this generation, this era, is in crisis. The search for world order has long been defined almost exclusively by the concept of Western societies. Did you get that? It's long been, let me read it to you again. The West is referred to here. It's always, the West is America. Hollywood. As goes Hollywood, goes the world. So goes the world. Well, that's a great saying, as goes California, but Hollywood is the one that runs California. Well, of course, Hollywood is sinking now, along with in their sins. Sinking in their sins. 1 foot a year right now. I believe we had something on the news about this. They've been, instead of rationing water, they started drawing it from the earth. One report said we could take the water that they've pulled from under California. They've got just about all of it now. It's just about dry. We could fill Lake Mead, Ontario. They named several lakes. Several times over, they said. Now, this is the amount of water that they have overused in California. Why would they do that? The preachers have signs in front of their churches to pray for rain. Why would they have to suck all the water out of the ground and let all their lakes go dry too? They're using out of the lakes too. The river's drying up. The land drying up. The earth is sinking, swaying like a hut, like a sukkah left in the garden. All of these things are taking place in this generation. At the same time, this concept of the Catholic Church to take over the world. So what help do they have from their gods in all of this? Do you see any help at all from their gods? And Yahweh said they're going to hide themselves pretty soon in the houses of their gods, saying, save us from the one that's sitting on that throne up there that's now made himself visible. All they're thinking about right now is revenge. Revenge? Well, you saw the preacher. Revenge! Revenge! That's what this blood is crying out. Hold your place right there, and let's go over to Genesis 4. Now, this is the concept also. This is part of the concept for this new world order is revenge. And Yahweh said to Cain in verse 6, why are you angry? Why are you so downcast? As the King James Version, why is your countenance fallen? If you do righteousness, you'll be accepted, or you will be acceptable if you will do righteousness. Well, none of the world wants to do righteousness. They don't want this in their concept of rule. They want to be able to rule, and they want to be able to practice sin, and they want the whole world to practice sin. And all of this is based on the Western morals. Well, the Eastern nations, they don't want these Western morals. And a lot of the countries in the South don't want it either, or in the West. If you do righteousness, will you not be accepted or acceptable? And if you do not do righteousness, sin is crouching at your door. The desire to sin is with you. That's what's bringing forth the crisis right now. But you must overcome it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and then he killed him. He killed him. And if you look on down to verse 10, this man was talking about this right here, Cain's blood crying out. And he said, "What have you done?" Yahweh said to Cain, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." And of course, this guy says he's crying out for revenge. Look on down to 14. "Surely you have driven me out this day from your face." This is Cain talking, saying, "You've driven me out from your face. Of the ground, I shall not be seen by your face." What's he going to be seen by? By the face of the gods. And the face of the gods is the crisis we're seeing in the world today. The great crisis. And it doesn't just involve their concept of world order. It involves the religion that they hate. The Muslim religion that's based on, of course, a one world power, which is Yahweh, but they think it's one of their army leaders that's died and gone to heaven. "I shall be a fugitive," he says, "and a vagabond on the earth. And there shall be continual war." Notice that vengeance and retaliation, and that's what the preacher was crying for on the news, saying the blood is crying out for revenge. Where was I here? Now these troubles are added. To these troubles are added a resurgence of tension with Russia and a relationship with China, divided between pledges of cooperation and public recrimination. The concept of order that has underpinned the modern era is in crisis. The search for world order has long been defined almost exclusively by the concepts of Western societies. Well, this is, of course, what the Muslims are against. They don't want their women being diseased. They don't want them being whores. They want to protect their women and their children. This is in their religion to do so. It's also in the religion Yahweh gave to Moshe to protect, guide, and teach in the laws of Yahweh. In the decades following World War II, the U.S. strengthened in its economy and national confidence, began to take up the torch of international leadership, and added a new dimension. A nation founded explicitly on the idea of free and representative governance, the U.S. identified its own rise with the spread of liberty and democracy. That really sounds great when you see it like this without knowing what they're really saying. It gets back to mythology. Mythology, of course, is taking a true story and turning it into a myth, like Santa Claus, of course. You know, Saint Nick, who gave presents to children so he could molest them. And they took this and they turned it into a Santa Claus who rides in a sleigh bringing presents to crawl down the chimney and put under their Christmas tree in honor to the sun god Baal. Well, of course, mythology, it makes a myth out of it. What founded Rome? Did the Pharisees found Rome? No, that took place with Romulus and Romulus and so forth. Well, this is mythology that we'll get into, and this is what you see here in America: democracy and liberty. Liberty, what do they promise you? They promise you liberty while they give you death. Well, that's exactly what the scripture shows. They promise you liberty while they give you death. Anytime you go against these laws that guard your health, your children will suffer, your grandchildren will suffer, your great-great-grandchildren will suffer from it, down to the fourth generation. Eating unclean food, like pork. They got new evidence now, come out on this, you can get it readily. The trichna goes into the brain. The larva from these things, it bores through the stomach wall. Once you get it in your stomach, pork, it bores through the stomach wall, and then it can travel on the roadways called your veins, vessels, that's what Isaiah called it, Isaiah 65, called it the abomination. And the broth of abominable things is in their vessels. These things go throughout your body, go to your brain, confuse your brain. You're wondering why you want to go to sleep every time I talk to you? Any of you having that trouble? You know, you really need to go and see some people that know about this and some oils, four oils that they use on your backbone to get rid of some of these things. But you think, well, I ate this pork. I ate this kosher dog at Sam's. It's kosher. It said kosher. Well, did you see? Did they show you the ingredients in it? Did they tell you where you could buy it and examine it? No, they won't give you that information. Well, what do they mean kosher? I was in Canada holding a meeting not too many years ago, maybe 100 years, something like that. But seems that long. But anyway, we went to a kosher food store to try to find something clean that we could eat. And sitting on the counter as we went by the display, there was a display of pig feet in a jar. And I said, this is a kosher. What do they mean kosher? Well, the sign was on the door, and I went back and read the kosher sign. Yes, there was a rabbi that actually signed it. Of course, the Jerusalem Post has a list of rabbis every month, or used to it. I guess they still do. Of rabbis that koshered things that were not kosher, and they fine them monthly, every month in Jerusalem. That doesn't stop them. They get paid big money to do this. Well, this is democracy too. The spread of liberty. Liberty, which gives you death, is not really liberty. Liberty gets you wound up in a rat race in the world, going to colleges where you get raped. Yes, and now they're trying to make it where you can't even fall on the people. Also, getting girls in the armies, in the armed forces, and they're falling on the people for rape. And the senators in Washington say, you mean they didn't join the army for that reason? You know, this is the crooked, stupid minds that we have already confused that's in leadership up here, way up high. Of course, he got a lot of criticism from that statement. But I'm told they all laughed. Well, this is what's going on in the minds of the world. This is the liberty they want you to leave Yahweh for and run to their liberty. And that's what the Catholic Church wants. Liberty and revenge comes next. Now, revenge, the father didn't like it. He grabbed his gun and went to kill him. The brother didn't like it. He even killed his mother and then went to the school and killed some more. This is the liberty that they promise you. And of course, democracy, which this is a mystical word also, like Santa Claus. It's a myth. Democracy, like it's supposed to be equal and just. It's not equal and just at all. It's run by the Catholic Church, and if you get out of line, you'll see why they're after the Muslims right now. This is not against religion, they say. Oh, no. The people who kept the Sabbath and they went out and arrested them, they didn't arrest them for keeping the Sabbath. That wasn't the charge against them. It was heresy. It was witchcraft. It was child molesting. People that took care of their children. But they've and the ones that filed on them were rapists of children and still are, and doing nothing about it. Now, this is the mixed up world that we're getting from this new concept of world order. Is there any wonder that it's running into crises now? There are thousands of people, there are billions of people that don't want this concept from the West. Yes, and they're fighting against it. You can't have peace. You cannot have peace without just laws to guide you. And then you've got to teach the people those just laws so they'll understand that these laws are just and righteous for all people to follow. And if two people can follow the law that says don't steal, then they can trust each other with materials, knowing full well that that person will not steal accidentally or deliberately. We tell people, you know, don't try to work for the house and work out in the world too, because you have things in your trucks and pickups that are holy to Yahweh. And if you got a screw out there in somebody's house that is unholy, you see what you've done with the holiness of Yahweh. You spit in Yahweh's face and give it to Baal. Give it over to Baal. I would say, if you can, if you possibly can, come out of this world. Start making your way totally out of it. The things that this world is suffering right now, and the crisis that it's in, they know, and this is what, I didn't read you all the letter yet, I want to, but they know that there is a crisis now. They know that this can spread. There's a possibility. They say, we hope we can control it. Well, how are they controlling it? The Pope is saying, never war. And then on the other hand, he says, we've got to stop them now. And sometimes war is necessary. Sometimes? That's been going on for 6,000 years. Sometimes. Pretty old just to use it sometime. That's their only solution. To go out and kill and be killed. And of course, this is what they're going to do. They're going to try to use force again to bring the world into compliance. This will lead to the nuclear wars. Yes, the nuclear wars, where 4/5 of the Earth's population is going to be wiped out. This new world order that we saw, this new order that Henry Kissinger is deeply involved with the Pope, and given advice. He's the Pope's right-hand man, and he's the one that goes secretly to the politicians and said, this is what we've got to do. Well, they've convinced a lot of people that this will work, but they've also shown that their plans don't get carried out. And what they're got in mind is bringing the people under subjection. But all of these nations out there, they agreed because they didn't say anything. They were quiet. They didn't really agree with them in unity, but they didn't say anything, say, no, I'm against this, because they knew if they did, they would be punished economically, as Russia is being punished right now. But Putin is saying, this week he issued statements saying, don't mess with Russia. And I want you to remember, he said, when he was telling this to pupils in the Russian schools, he said, I want everyone out there to understand that Russia is a mighty nuclear power. He said, don't mess with Russia. And they said that this was his strongest words that has ever been spoken by the Russian people. He's actually threatening nuclear war. Well, that puts the United States on alert, saying we've got to get first strike. The threat doesn't stop anything. The only thing that will turn this thing around, brethren, is the peaceful solution taught peacefully to all nations, saying, these are the laws that we can all live with. Don't you see what a difference this would make? If our government right now, the United States government right now, would use the military soldiers, don't dress them in military uniforms, dress them in black, white shirts, black ties, and black suits, and send them to the colleges to show what we've got to offer them that we will live by. We'll live by these laws ourselves, and we'll teach you these laws, and you can teach you to live by them, you and all your children. We'll teach this free to you. We'll take this money that we spent on one stupid bomb, and we'll teach the world how to live in peace. Those people would readily accept those laws to live by. We wouldn't be telling them, you know, don't worship Muhammad. They'll tell themselves that once they find out what Yahweh's laws teach. Yes. But that's the only way we're ever going to have peace. We're not going to have it through force. Yahweh knew better than that. Yeshua said it. He said, you won't do this in the kingdom. In Yahweh's kingdom, there won't be such a thing as force anywhere. There won't be any ruling over someone with force. It's going to have to be taught. They're going to have to agree. They're going to have to be in unity from the heart, in unity. Otherwise, they will die and they will never be replaced. They'll go back to dust, and that's where they will stay. No life ever again. The dust will have life. The microorganisms will be going on, being used by other microorganisms. But they will not be that body formed of that person ever again. No, there won't be any reincarnations. Go to a rat or a mouse. Yes, the dust will. But that brain won't be in it. He won't be enjoying this body that he's in now. And he won't even know, the rat won't even know that he had the microorganisms that was once in another person, the dust in them that was from another person. You understand what life is now? May Yahweh bless you. And I told you some secrets now about this, about the creation of the earth. I gave you quite a few hints. So think over what I've said. If you don't remember it, go back and listen again. I gave you some hints, and there's a lot more scriptures you got to put with this to understand. But yes, there is was a time, wasn't too old. The earth is not very old. In fact, the flood book itself, there ain't no use in all of you getting that and reading it. You'd never put it together unless you know the scripture. But if you had the scripture, if you could remember the scriptures, you'll see the things that hint towards this date, and then the scripture itself then, Yahweh gives you the date. We did it. We did it in some films, and we didn't even notice what we was doing, but we did it. Cartoon. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.